Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day, mark that, will you? The same day. God is precise. We're going to speak about this in our last session together. Times and seasons. Everything that God does is precise and exact. If the sun came up 1 hour late, or the moon, the tides, think of the chaos. Everything is precise. The same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and when they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the wilderness of Sinai, they pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. In verse 3, Moses went up. He went up 7 times, by the way, and just this interesting little exercise. Just mark those in your Bible next time you're going through the reading. Every time he ascends and every time he descends. 7 times up and 7 times down. They had left Ramesses in the first month, the day after Passover, the 14th day of Aviv, or Nisan, and they left the next day, which was the 15th. The same day, that's the third month, they arrived here at the Mount of Sinai. So the whole trip, that's about 350 miles, took 2 months. The rest of that trip is going to take something like 40 years, approximately. So why the great urgency to get them from Ramesses down to Mount Sinai? Why this great urgency? And I would suggest to you that this nation, which just had been born through the waters, in the cloud and in the sea, needed to have laws. They would just be floundering without laws. And they needed to have laws. And the laws were urgent. And that's why the Lord God brought them down there with haste. And of course, our children are the same. Our natural children and our spiritual children. They need laws. The areas of demarcation need to be prescribed carefully and accurately. And of course, if we do not prescribe that line carefully to our children, they keep on wanting to just put their little foot over the line and to see how you react. And of course, if you don't make sure that that line stays where it is, then of course, they kind of just get over the edge, and then they're standing there and they're saying, Dad, what are you going to do about that? And of course, that's the time, isn't it? You're either going to move that boundary or you're going to stand. And that's what the law is all about. God says, you cross that line and you're a dead man. God said, you do work on the Sabbath day, you're a dead man. Here's a man, he just wanted to have a barbecue. Barbecue? Is that right? Barbecue? Just picking up a couple of sticks, you understand. Brought him to Moses, said, picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. God didn't move the line, you understand. He didn't move the line. And so for 11 months we find that they were at the foot of Mount Sinai there and they received the law. They were to be fed on the milk of the word. And I would suggest that's what the law is all about. The milk of the word. I would suggest that the meat of the word is putting it into practice. That's the hard part, isn't it? People often talk about the meat of the word being studying Hebrew words and studying Hebrew letters and all that kind of thing. And I think that's fantastic. I love it. But that's not the meat of the word. The meat of the word is doing it. That's the hard part, isn't it? And so they were to be fed on a diet of the facts of life and death. Believe and obey. They would be rewarded with life. Disobey. They would receive death. Exodus chapter 20 now. Exodus chapter 20. And of course we have the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And of course they did that, didn't they, with the golden calf. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And of course that means in our behavior. We take upon ourselves the name of the Lord when we are baptized into his name. And we mustn't do that in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Verse 12, the first commandment with promise, honour thy father and mother, that thy days might be long upon the land. Verse 13, thou shalt do no murder, revised version, not kill. They were allowed to kill oxen and things like that. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. And of course the hardest one for us in the 20th century, isn't it? Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments, and if you'd like to make a note there, next to Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 10 and at verse 4, in the margin, it means the ten spoken words. The ten spoken words, which are God, idols, oaths, Sabbath. I'm just always ahead of my wife, you understand. It's supposed to come on. We're trying this. It's a good team effort, huh? There it is. The ten words. God, idols, oath, Sabbath, parents, murder, adultery, theft, perjury, covetous. Now, that's basically what the Hebrew indicates. The ten spoken words. They were also known as the words of the covenant. They were known as the testimony or the witness. Now, these ten words were to remain the kernel of Israel's relationship with God. For they, not these very stones, but the second set of stones, were to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony in the Holy of Holies. And all the rest of the Law of Moses, the whole of the Law of Moses, all of it hangs on those ten words. But behind those ten words is the Spirit of the Law. And the Spirit of the Law is love. You remember the occasion when the lawyer comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, of all the law and all the prophets, tell me what's the most important. And Jesus summarizes everything by saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's the first three words. The other is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Anybody that is next to you at any given point in time. And that's those words over there on the other side. And the one that he leaves out is the Sabbath commandment, we'll remember. Why? Simply because the law dictated that one day in seventh, one seventh of your time belonged to God. Jesus was saying now that seven sevenths of your time belongs to God. All of your time, all of your money. We have been bought with a price, even with the precious blood of Jesus. And of course, the whole thing about the Sabbath law was stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about your neighbor. If your neighbor's ox or his ass falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, help him. Do something about it. Test yourself next time, brethren and sisters, next time you're going to the meeting. And there's somebody with a flat tire on the side of the road. See how you go. And so for 11 months they were to remain at Mount Sinai, receiving the law, the whole law. That would include the law of the covenant, the tabernacle, the whole book of Leviticus, the numbering of Israel. And then we come to Numbers chapter 10 and at verse 11 where we find them leaving. Numbers chapter 10, I'll bring you to. And I'm taking it from the revised version. Numbers chapter 10 and at verse 11. And it came to pass in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, that the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle of testimony, and the children of Israel set forward according to their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Now Hazeroth, which you can see over there, Hazeroth, just over here in the wilderness of Paran, was in fact, as I've just indicated, in that vicinity. Numbers 12 and at verse 16, just to show that Hazeroth was in fact in that area, and so that Paran is in fact in the same vicinity as Hazeroth. Verse 16, and afterwards the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Now here in Exodus, it seems to suggest that they went straight up to Kadesh Barnea, because the very next chapter deals with the 12 spies. But in Numbers 33, which I now bring you to our reading, and I apologize for the reading. It's a pretty difficult reading to start off a Bible school with all those names, and sometimes you feel like you get a bit of chewing gum in your mouth. Understand that those are Hebrew words, and we're trying to speak English. Very difficult words. Numbers 33, verse 17. They departed from Kibroth Hativah and pitched at Hazeroth. Okay, you'll notice that. And of course you'll see on the map here that things are going to change somewhat. Because 13 stops later, we find them pitching at Mazaroth, verse 31. And they departed from Mazaroth and pitched at Bene Yakan. If you'd like to make a marginal note there, Deuteronomy 10 and at verse 6. Deuteronomy 10 and at verse 6 tells us that Bene Yakan is the place where Aaron died. So therefore it is the same as Mount Hor. Verse 37 here, and they removed from Kadesh Barnea and pitched in Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom, and Aaron the priest went up and into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord, and there he died. In the 14th year after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fifth month, on the first day of the month. And he was 123 when he died. And so it seems highly probable that the children of Israel went past Mount Hor at least twice. Now, if your mind is anything like mine, there's one little word that was repeated through that reading. Can anyone remember what it was? Pitched. Very good. Excellent. In the one version it says pitched, and the other version it says encamped. Now, as a little exercise, what you can do one of these days is mark or underline that little word pitched. And you will find that from the time that they left Ramesses to the time they came to the plains of Moab, they pitched 41 times. The 41st pitching was in the plains of Moab. Now, of course, if that was the end of the story, well, we would be of all men most miserable. But that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. That means the next pitching, the next time they pitched their tents, it would have been in the promised land. Under Joshua. Yeshua. God will save. And of course, the Greek equivalent of Joshua is Jesus, isn't it? I'll bring you to Matthew chapter 1. And just see how beautiful Scripture is. It just ties together all over. And I'm not going to extend the subject too much. I'm hoping that I'm just planting enough seeds for you to do a lot of work for yourselves. But we're just dealing with this number 42. 42 pitchings into the promised land under Joshua. But now a greater than Joshua is here. Matthew 1 and at verse 17. So the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the carrying on to Babylon were 14 generations. From the carrying on to Babylon unto Christ, Joshua, were 14 generations. 3 times 14, 42. Jesus is the 42nd generation from Abraham. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it also interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he started his ministry from the time of his baptism until the time of his death, when he said it is finished, 42 months, precisely and exactly. Not one more, not one less. And of course your mind will start spreading all the way through Scripture. You'll find this 42 months there with Elijah, pray that it might not rain. You'll find it there with the two witnesses in Revelation. And your mind will start permeating all the way through. And so you see, God brought them in to the promised land. He brought them out that he might bring them in, and he brought them in under Joshua. But we wait for a greater than Joshua. And he'll do it for us, brethren and sisters, if, and only if, and this is the condition, if we can perceive and understand and take to ourselves a little of the Spirit of the law. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and the other is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And again Jesus said, a new commandment I leave you, that ye love one another.